One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea. Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Jared Weiss. I am joined as always by Mo DeKeel. Danielle Lehman is our producer. And Mo, the streak is over. The Charlotte Hornets on top of the NBA.
I'll be honest. The Charlotte Hornets got the win, but this was a loss because of the Boston Celtics game from Sunday night where they went to double overtime. Like, you could see it on the Knicks' faces if they looked exhausted. Jared, you know, mustering up, I think, only 16 points in the fourth quarter. And I don't want to take anything away from Charlotte. We'll get to them in a second. But you could just see them. They were gassed. Randle wasn't moving as well. Quickly wasn't really firing on all cylinders. No Jalen Brunson. I honestly think this is the lasting effects of the double overtime win from Sunday night.
I mean, the Celtics, they went to overtime against Cleveland and lost too. So I guess nobody was surviving after that double OT game. But the Knicks, their 9-game winning streak is over. They are no longer perfect, but they're still perfect in my heart. But the Hornets had a lot of good performers in this game. Kelly Oubre had 27. Terry Rozier had 25. Gordon Hayward had 23. He almost had a triple-double. It was just fascinating to see life for the Hornets after LaMelo actually starting to look nice.
We're seeing some flashes. LaMelo was part of it, but like, we're seeing some flashes where they were getting some wins down the stretch there a little bit. I think it was after the All-Star break. They had like 5 in a row, and we're looking pretty spry and things like that. This is just, these are good players. Rozier, solid player. Oubre, who I'm not a big fan of, but still had a good night. And then Gordon Hayward, if he's healthy, he can help you. He can help you if he's healthy. And apparently he looks healthy enough. It was a big comeback for them in the sense of the Knicks were up 15 at one point in this game. And they slowly kind of chipped away at this and stayed with it throughout the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, early third quarter, Terry Rozier was coming down in transition, just kind of going off over and over again. RJ Barrett was kind of the one guy from the Knicks that like really fought back, and they were able to keep the Knicks ahead a little bit. But I mean, this Hornets team in MSG, you know, Terry Rozier is the guy that when he gets on the heater, he really, really sees how long he can keep that going. And that it actually worked.
Yeah, it worked out well. It wasn't the most efficient heater. 10 to 22 from the field and 2 of 7 from three.
Heaters really are.
But like, he did keep it going and kept the mojo going. And I think down the stretch, again, I feel bad because I'm kind of taking it away from Charlotte. This was just a fatigue thing. Down the stretch, they just had no gas. You could see it. And it was exhausting. I was tired watching them play, and I felt bad for them.
Yeah, 23-7 run for the Hornets in the last 5 minutes of this game. Kelly Oubre, he went off at the end there. He was even blowing kisses to the crowd like he was Trae Young.
He hit a very impressive corner three on really good defense from Quickly. I thought it was defended pretty well. I didn't think he had a lot of space. And then when he got it off, I was like, wow, that's a gutsy shot.
So, okay, so the Knicks have come back down to earth, but let's take some stock of where they've been. And, of course, no Jalen Brunson in this game. It was already impressive enough that they had that huge win in Boston without him. How do you feel about the Knicks? Have they graduated out of the fringe play-in category and into the solid fighting for home court advantage category?
Yeah, no, I think they have. I think part of it is, you know, Josh Hart's been great for them. I think they've really kind of stepped up and have been really good. Even before Josh Hart got there, they were kind of finding their groove with everything. And I think part of it, too, is, you know, the Brooklyn Nets made, I don't know if you heard, Jared, made a few moves, just a couple minor moves at the trade deadline. And now they're plummeting in the standings. So I think that's kind of helped them in this situation where it's kind of by default almost they're a little bit out of that run. But I think there's a good chance they can take the 4 seed from Cleveland if they're not careful.
All right, first off, the Nets won by 22 points tonight, so I want you to put a little bit of respect
on Mikal Bridges' name. They played Houston. Stop it. No. And you know why? Because we're not even going to talk about them again the rest of the show. They played Houston. Sorry, Houston. I know you guys are praying for Vic, but like, come on, Jared. Don't come in here with that.
Okay, hard cut into the Lakers. What a win. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies 112-103. And like, okay, the Grizzlies, that's a whole Pandora's box we're going to have to unravel real quick here. But Is Austin Reeves the best offensive player in this game?
Come on, man. Why did I got to be on this show with this hipster? It's Anthony Davis. Why are we burying the lead? Anthony Davis was absolutely phenomenal. After getting bloodied up a little bit by David Roddy on a completely freak accident type situation, Anthony Davis goes for 30 points and 22 rebounds. And you want to talk Austin Reeves? Come on, Jared. Why are you trying to rile me up this late in the evening and me jolt the listeners this early in the morning?
I'm trying to give the people what they want. And they're seeing that Austin Reeves bank floater at the end of the game to basically seal it. They're like, oh, I'm an Austin Reeves guy. But come on, 80, 30, 20, 11 for 17 shooting. Had that huge rebound at the end there over Triple J. That like was what really clinched it for this team. I mean, this was a great win for AD.
This was a great win for the Lakers that desperately needed it. And Jovan Buha, just beat writer for The Athletic, covering the Lakers, hit us in the chat and said, this is the first time all year the Lakers have finally been in the top 10. Took 66 games for them to kind of end up in the top 10. They're currently ninth now in the playoffs in the standings. So they'd be in the play-in game right now. This was a big win. They desperately needed it. No D'Angelo Russell. We know LeBron's going to be out for a while. And I teased you a little bit, but Austin Reeves was really good down the stretch for them. And really throughout this game, like the Lakers are getting some big time play and a lot of guys are stepping up for them in a big way.
I mean, Troy Brown with that huge three, we saw the Lakers benched. They were spraying something out there. Not sure what. We'll get into that in a second. That might have had to do with Ja Morant. But I mean, the Lakers, they had vibes going. And this is a franchise that has been vibe depleted for a long time. And it's funny how after the trade deadline, they feel like a team you actually enjoy rooting for.
Well, it just makes sense when you have trade for guys that can actually help your team and help the star players around you when you add shooting and defense and things like that. So it's not a surprise, Jared.
Okay, so other side here. We don't know when Ja Morant's going to be back. Things are not good. Legal perspective, whatever is happening with him, personal life. There's a lot of concerns about whether he can really play this year. Dylan Brooks is back from a suspension. Brandon Clark is out for the year, I believe. So Xavier Tillman was starting in this game. How do you feel about Memphis after seeing them where like they were clearly having trouble creating offense?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is the, let's just be honest. You take any team's number one player off of them, off their roster, they're not going to be very good. And yes, last season, the Grizzlies, shocking everybody, were really good when Ja didn't play in games. But in the end of the day, you need your top player. And in this game, it really kind of highlighted how little pressure they had downhill with Ja not on the floor for them. His ability to kind of get into the paint basically at will whenever he wanted to is something that they vastly miss, and their half-court offense doesn't really bring that out of them right now. So they got a lot of work to do. But this was also a tough night for Desmond Bain. 3 of 14 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. Shocking. Absolutely nobody. Dylan Brooks led them in shooting with 17 field goal attempts, going 5 of 17 and 3 of 10 from 3. I mean, this is going to be some tough sledding right now, and they got a lot of injuries. It's not just Ja being out. Adams out. You went through it. Brandon Clark out for the year with the Achilles tear. Like, it's what a team that we talked about being so deep is now looking a little bit thin.
All right, we got to move on. We got to talk about perhaps the greatest point guard in the NBA. The Warriors, they face the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that's right, Josh Giddey with a 17-assist triple-double in the Thunder beat. I was going to say upset, but is it an upset? They beat the Warriors, even though Steph Curry had his best game since returning, or really only his second game since returning.
Yeah, no, this was, I mean, Josh Giddey was absolutely awesome. His seventh triple-double, I think, in his career. I think it's tied with Magic Johnson for the youngest player with under 21, or second youngest, because, of course, Luka has 21 of these. It was one of those stats that I saw there that was floating around. But
He's good.
Yes, thank you, Jared, for saving me there. Yeah. Josh Giddey's good, guys. He's very good at basketball. He does a great job playmaking. At 6'8", does a good job rebounding. I mean, this was just one of those games where you watched it and you saw him and Shea begin to cook, and you start to get excited about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Shea had 33 points, 14 for 24 shooting. Lu Dort had a really good game really on both ends there, and including one of the weirdest turnovers, or just a couple weird segments we had here. There was one where Draymond Green just like stopped playing, and the announcer's like, "What the hell's going on?" There was Klay Thompson at the end picking up his dribble and then just like passing it to the Thunder. The Warriors are kind of out of sorts here. The Thunder deserve a lot of credit for that.
Well, one, I think it was a Draymond frustration of not getting the ball and then turning his back to the play. And then the Klay one was just one of 21 turnovers that the Warriors had tonight. And we're so used to seeing that from them. And sometimes they win these games even despite having all these turnovers. But that's because their defense has been so much better. We haven't seen that bite from them defensively the way we have in the past, and they're not able to kind of survive that. The Thunder had 26 points off of those 21 turnovers. It's tough when you're giving that stuff up.
All right, we have too many good games to get to here. We're going to get to this really quickly here. The Pistons lost to the Wizards. They could have had a chance to make a good play at the end there. Completely butchered it at the end. Then the Wizards miss, and Daniel Gaffer gets a put back at the very end to win it. But we're going to get to Dallas in Utah, because this was a fascinating one. Kyrie Irving just came alive in the fourth quarter, had 30 points for the third straight game, and the Mavs ended up winning 120-116.
Kyrie was absolutely amazing in the fourth quarter, going 4 of 5 from the field, 1 of 2 from three, 8 of 8 from the free throw line, 17 points just the fourth quarter, Jared. He went completely ballistic. He had a great three, up one, and I don't know what the Jazz were thinking, and I'm looking at Taylor Horton Tucker in transition, kicks it to the corner, the ball comes back to him, but his entire defense left him. As soon as he kicked it to the corner, Taylor Horton Tucker ran away from him. Why are you leaving Kyrie Irving open? He leaves him open. Irving hits a three. They go up 4, and really the Jazz never really had a chance to get back into it after that.
That sounds like a THG special. And this episode was a Mode to Kill special. We hit like, what, 5 games? That was impressive. Almost as impressive as the production by Daniel Lehman on the show. And I'm Jared Weiss. We'll see you next time on The Daily Ding.
Ding, ding.